Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 18th, 2011. On a recent Psychology Today blog, visual artist and art therapist Kathy Melchiotti recently wrote, quote, "Preparing for teaching and lecture gigs always brings me back to one essential question that is the foundation of the healing arts. What is art actually for? I don't dismiss the statements about the power of art, but I think there is a much better way as to why many of us humans are compelled to make art and why everyone should consider it as a wellness practice." Melchiotti cites an evolutionary ethologist, Ellen Dissanayake's four aspects. 1. Art makes life special. Humans need to embellish, decorate, and personalize. Dissanayake suggests that groups that make these things special through the arts have a more unifying interactions and ceremonies, groups who are able to survive longer than those who don't use art in this way. Art engages the senses or makes people feel good. It suggested even before the arts made people made things special, people enjoyed the satisfaction of rhythm, novelty, order, pattern, color, play, and body movement. In other words, we enjoy the arts because the artistic sensory experience helps us feel better. And arts involves rituals, which helps make the meaning of life and reduces life inevitable stress. Rituals allow for fantasy, too. There are ways to transcend difficult circumstances and tragedies such as disaster, illness, and death. And finally, art enhances community. Created to be experienced by others and engages us in community, even though art creates reactions that are deeply personalized. Well, Melchiotti concludes with a quote, "Art is, quote, and I quote, art is a normal and necessary behavior of human beings. And like other common universal occupations such as talking, working, exercising, playing, socializing, learning, loving, and caring, should be recognized and encouraged and developed in everyone." End quotes. What are your thoughts? Agree? Disagree? Send me your opinion via email to robert@selahministries.ca and maybe we can begin a dialogue on this issue. Keep listening and I'll repeat the email address at the end of the show.
Your spirit hovers over my waters. Your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder. Your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part.
Single from the soon-to-be-released CD Altar of Love by Down Here. This is the band's fifth major studio album since they were formed by Briarcrest Bible College roommates Mark Martell and Jason Germain in the late 1990s. Altar of Love will be in stores next Tuesday, August 23rd, and Let Me Rediscover You is available as a digital download through downhere.com. Well, some food is created to look like art. The art currently on display at Conrad Grable University College in Waterloo was created to make you think about food. The Just Food exhibit is on loan from the Mennonite Committee on Human Rights, and with me tonight to talk about the exhibit is Ray Dirks, curator of the Mennonite Heritage Center Gallery in Winnipeg. Good evening, Ray.
Good evening.
Now, maybe you can give us a little bit of background about the Mennonite Committee on Human Rights. What is that all about?
It was a committee that came together in Winnipeg not too long after it was announced that there was going to be a Canadian Museum for Human Rights based here in Winnipeg. And people started talking about how can we, as people of faith, specifically Mennonites, be a positive force for human rights and get people within our own community talking about human rights and thinking about how should we as people of faith approach human rights and think about human rights.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Mennonite Heritage Center Gallery? How did that come around?
Well, I was asked to be a part of this committee. It includes people from different non-governmental organizations and academics and historians. And I also, at different times, I've worked closely with people from, for example, Mennonite Central Committee and Canadian Food Grains Bank and the Mennonite Heritage Center, which is an archives. And so they asked if I'd be involved as well.
So and your particular role is as curator of the gallery?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where did the idea for an exhibit featuring food come from?
Well, the group wanted to do, they had done things like made a course outline for Canadian Mennonite University previously. They wanted to do something that was more public, and we're discussing how could that take shape. And I suggested with me being part of the committee, you know, maybe if we tried an exhibition, because in the past I've created a number of exhibitions that are on a theme that is to that's beyond simply something to do with art, but we use art to get people interested in the theme and perhaps also attract people who wouldn't otherwise be interested in the theme to come and see it because of the art. And it also, because of art, you gain greater media access, different media access possibly than you would if you're just doing something like a course or a seminar or a workshop, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggested, you know, if we use art, then maybe people who would never think about the issue will come because of the art, and then they will start thinking about it as well. And so we just started working on some of my connections that I have with artists in Canada and in other countries, and it rolled ahead from there.
So how many artists were involved?
There are 19. Actually, there's 20 because there's one that is one piece that's a historical piece that is borrowed, and there's one artist from Winnipeg who was asked to do something just on an overall theme. And other than that, we broke up artists into six groups of three, two international artists and one Canadian artist in each group, and then had each of those groups respond to a declaration statement such as the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, along with biblical text on food. And then we had those three artists in each of six groups respond to those statements with two artworks each.
So what were some of the biblical texts that you you used as a basis for this?
Primarily from the Old Testament, things like from Amos and Ezekiel and, for example, and Deuteronomy. Just different passages that said that we as people of faith do have some responsibility and should be thinking of those who are in need, and that food is not something to be hoarded and just kept for ourselves.
Now, why did you choose painting as the art form to use rather than, say, sculpture or some other art form?
For the most part, simply for because we knew this was going to tour, and for ease of touring more than anything else, not for any particular reason beyond that.
So how long did it take to from when you first thought of the idea, when the idea was first brought forth, to the first exhibit in Winnipeg? How much time elapsed for that?
Probably a couple of years. because it wasn't just a matter of finding the artists and getting them involved. There was a lot of thought had to be put into the text and finding the biblical text, and that was done by a committee of people within the Human Rights Committee, but not myself, like people who have academics who've dealt with food issues, people from NGOs who work with food issues, etc. So there's a lot of people trying to bring together a lot of different things, and I was responsible for bringing together the artists. And other people came up with these sets of texts that mm-hmm. were to be presented to the artists. And since I've worked with artists in about 30 countries for a couple of decades, I had a lot of existing connections, and then we also used a few other connections from NGOs, from places that where I hadn't worked, because we wanted also the artists that were the international artists to kind of broadly go around the world by region, so that we were having some thoughts on food issues from many different perspectives and from all over the world.
So what were some of the countries that those artists came from?
Philippines, Mexico, Ethiopia, Cuba, Japan, Ukraine, Mozambique, India, Netherlands, Iraq, Chile. That's most of them.
Okay, and then North America, United States, and Canada.
And Sudan, I meant.
And Sudan.
And not from the U.S., but from Canada. There was one, we wanted one from each of the provinces from Ontario West, and we also wanted one First Nations artist.
Mm-hmm. So how did you actually choose which artists you were, like you mentioned you had connections with a number of artists over the years. How did you choose which artists you were going to use?
For the most part, we tried to, besides finding artists who we felt were good, we wanted to work with artists who we knew worked with issues or were somehow personally, had some personal connection to this issue. Like, for example, the artist from Mozambique was himself a street child when he was young. He was living rough on the street and so personally knew hunger. And the art that he produced was thinking about his own having been of he himself being hungry when he was a kid. An artist like Aranda from Mexico is somebody who has worked for a long time. A major part of his career is working with indigenous people who have been marginalized, and so he's somebody who's a fantastic and dignified artist who has worked with human rights issues throughout his career. Or Bert Montarona from the Philippines, he's also someone who's quite political. And so we just were trying to find people who were good and who were passionate about working with issues as well.
Mm-hmm. Was there an overall theme that you were trying to see come across, or that just actually happened to come across once the paintings came in?
We simply gave each one of them the set of statements that they were to be inspired by, but then we said to them, you know, how whatever reaction that causes, we aren't going to steer you any more than just to say here's the statements and then come up with a couple of artworks.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did the first exhibit take place in Winnipeg?
The first one was in Steinbeck at the Mennonite Heritage Village, and that was about a year and a half ago.
Okay. Well, what I need to do is I need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Mennonite Heritage Center Gallery Curator Ray Dirks. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
St. Stephen Street. Dad, I'm stopping by. Can you look me in the eye? He left a message on the phone. At the bus stop, he cried. His father held a sign that read, "Welcome home." fast before her heart ran cold. With pain in his eyes, he walked out of the house and drove to town. Bought her a white wedding dress, came home to her and danced to the song of forgiveness.
Back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to Glory by the Way of Shame from the soon-to-be-released CD Altar of Love by Down Here. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Ray Dirks, curator of the Mennonite Heritage Center Gallery. Now, where did the idea come from? And you mentioned that initially you went with paintings because you saw this as a traveling exhibit. When did you come up with the idea that you were going to do this as a traveling exhibit?
I think right from the start, the two main sponsors are the Mennonite Central Committee and Canadian Food Grains Bank, and they wanted to reach as much of their constituencies as they could, and that ranges across the country, but primarily from Ontario West.
Mm-hmm. And how did the discussions with Conrad Grable come around?
Well, because of their Mennonite connections and our many Mennonite connections, it was a natural place for us to talk to, and we were also talking to Mennonite Central Committee Ontario, and through Mennonite Central Committee Ontario, Conrad Grable was contacted, and we just decided that was it's a good place for the exhibit because it's a public space. There's a lot of students going through, plus there's just a lot of general traffic, and also it's Mennonite connections, etc. There were just a lot of connections that made sense.
And what was it? How long did it take for the exhibit to go from the discussion stage to actually being on display?
Well, it's probably year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get everything, the people on the committee had to sort out exactly how they wanted to set it up, because there's also a lot of panels and text that goes with it, and the artist had to be found and commissioned. We wanted to make sure that the art was commissioned specifically for this project, as opposed to us borrowing existing art. So the art, for the most part, except for a couple of pieces, were purchased outright from the artist. And the art was created specifically for this exhibit, so they needed some time to do that.
Now, when you saw the art for the first time yourself, what was sort of your reaction to seeing some of the paintings and some of the pieces?
Well, I'm just really impressed and thankful for the wide range, from people like Karen Thiessen from Ontario, whose approach is very much about consumerism and using modern technology and symbols and a lot of things that are very much directly connected to us as North Americans, and then seeing, for example, like people like the Josie Sitoy from Mozambique and his connection to his own personal bouts with hunger, and or Ovid Charlotte, a First Nations artist that I've worked with previously, and how he connected it to his own traditions and culture, and how various artists, especially the Canadian ones, also connected it to their own faith. or Annelies Sommers from the Netherlands, how she definitely takes almost all of her art is connected to passages from the Bible. So this certainly fit the way she works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just I was really impressed by the wide range and the thought put into it, and that some of it is quite easy to read, and some of it is all the way to abstract.
Hmm. Do you have any of the paintings that particularly are you know, your favorites or ones that you keep thinking about?
Well, I think Aranda from Mexico, I've always been, I've worked with him in the past, and I'm just really impressed by him as a person and as an artist, his talent, his dignity, and I think you really see that in his prints that we have. Or Ovid Charlotte, the First Nations artist, he's someone who has spent most of his adult life in prison, but he is somebody who is really willing to grapple with his demons in his art, and I'd seen that and felt that before, so that's why we commissioned him, because we know he is somebody who really thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can see that in his art. It's beautifully done, and it's also very much about sharing it's just good. And the guy from Ukraine, he decided to deal with his passages by thinking being someone during the famine in Ukraine in the 1930s, and so he did his paintings in the style of a famous artist from that period, and it was a very emotional experience for him.
Mm-hmm.
He found it difficult to do those paintings because of memories of that horrendous time of famine that was completely man-made.
Right. When looking at it, and you mentioned that you were taking the topics from the Bible, passages from the Bible, and that, did all of the artists have a Christian faith experience, or were they just chosen because they were artists who could speak to this particular issue?
The majority of artists are Christians, but not all are. The artists in Canada, other than the First Nations artists, were all people who are members of Mennonite churches. We, because of the background of the committee, we commissioned Mennonite artists to be those artists. The ones outside of Canada, we intentionally worked with some artists who are Christians and very obviously Christians in their art, like Gensu Boy from Japan. His art is always biblically based, no matter what the subject is. But we also made sure worked with people like Jyoti Sai from India, who is a Christian but very much tries to be a bridge between Christians and Hindus in India. And then also people like Hashim Hanoun and Isam Aboud, who are both Muslims, because we felt we wanted some other perspectives as well. But people of faith, but not necessarily a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the first people to see the exhibit here in Waterloo were those that were attending a Mennonite Church Canada Assembly. What was their reaction to the exhibit?
Well, in general, I think just very positive. It's I think because food is just something we don't generally think about all that much. We just eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's good to be... to have something that just sort of stops people and gets them to think about it. Doesn't tell them, you know, this is what you have to do or whatever, but just have them stop and think about it, see the different art. And I think what we have both at that assembly and other places where it's been, what I've found very pleasing is that there is all the text around it that has been put together by the different people related to the committee. But a lot of people have really been, what's made them think are the words from the artists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have decided to write a fair bit of text to go with their artworks. Others haven't supplied anything, which in my experience is typical. When you work with a lot of artists, there are some who want to basically tell you everything, and others who don't really want to tell you anything. They just want you to get what you can out of their art without them,
mm-hmm.
in quotes, interfering any other way.
Yeah.
But I think there have been a lot of people have been particularly moved by what some of the artists have written, and I think that happened at the assembly as well.
And just looking at our time, we're just about out of time here. The exhibit is on display until Waterloo, in Waterloo to the end of September. What happens then? Where does it go from here?
It is going to Mennonite Central Committee Ontario meetings. It is going to a gallery museum in Hamilton. There's probably one other place as well in Ontario, which was the last I knew was still sort of being in the works. Like mm-hmm. Mennonite Central Committee Ontario was sort of in charge of where it was going within Ontario, outside of the place in Hamilton that I had worked with.
Right. Is there anywhere where people can get more information about where this might be outside of Waterloo?
Yes, they could contact me, and then I can get that, or the Mennonite Central Committee Ontario too. But the simplest, if somebody wants to email for such information, if they just go to rdirks@mennonitechurch.ca, they would reach me.
Okay. Well, Just Food is on display Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the main atrium of Conrad Grable University College, which is at 140 West Mountain Road North in Waterloo. And if you want more information, you can go to www.uwaterloo.ca and look for the Just Food exhibit link. Ray, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Ray Dirks. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.